how exactly does a song alter our mood?
Well, there are lots of things happening, of course. At the most basic level, there is a kind of rhythmic entrainment that goes on. So the pulse of the song, what happens in our bodies is our body adjusts to that pulse. So if it's a very upbeat song, for instance, our heart rate beats faster, and if it's a mellow sort of ballad, the heart rate slows down, hence the history of the lullaby, for instance. It's a soothing, slow melody helping the baby go to sleep. There's a for example. And then as you go through sort of levels of cognitive engagement with your mind and your previous experience, of course, tied to that are previous associations. So if it's a song that you've got tied to a partner and you have some terrible breakup, you can use that song in a number of ways. You might use it cathartically to have a good cry. You might use it to, you know, pump it up really loud if it's an upbeat song, and sort of dance around madly to get all your emotion out. Mm. So there are a variety of ways in which you can use that material, but they're sort of very general, broad principles.
So do we know why there's a correlation between our heart beating faster when there is a faster pulse?
Oh, yes. It's just a basic sort of biological thing that we do. We entrain with a rhythm. So, for instance, if you're walking down the street with your friends, you will walk in synchrony with the people you're with. It's just something that the human body does. And so, for instance, if you're on the treadmill at the gym and you're playing fast music, it helps you go along because it keeps you pumped up, you know.
Mm. So what affects someone's personal tastes in music?
Oh, personal taste has a huge role to play. Of course it does. So, of course, your training, your familiarity, there's a strong correlation between familiarity and liking. But at a certain point, if you like something and it has very simple, basic structures, they can get to a point where you become saturated by it and fed up with it, and you never want to listen to it again. I think that's something that you hear people say that quite often. I remember when I was a kid, there was a pop song I used to play repeatedly, and then I got fed up with it, you know. And I think we sometimes do that. And if music has multiple layers to it, if we attend to those different layers, it can be at one level the words and the meaning of that. It can be the harmony. It can be the melody line, or it can be the rhythm itself. So there are many, you know, features you can focus on.
Mm. So how does a shared musical experience, such as Ariana Grande's tribute to the Manchester Tap, how does that help unify in a time of crisis?
Well, I think there are all kinds of things going on there. Of course, just as I've mentioned, there are those sort of more biologically driven base level things. So entraining to a rhythm, or if we hear a loud sound, we have this kind of startle response. But also the mere presence of someone else causes our arousal level to go up. Also, if we're with a mass of people and we're all experiencing something very positive, that becomes like an emotional contagion. So that can spread very quickly, and that can be incredibly positive and soothing. But of course, there's a flip side to that, and the Ariana Grande concert is a very good example of that, because one might imagine being in that situation. At one moment, everyone was having fun being together in the music, being so focused on that sort of social facilitation side of things and the euphoria of being together. And then suddenly you have that terrible incident happens where in a split second you've gone from enjoyment to terror. Mm. And then, of course, that can go to this complete over-arousal state where people start to panic and so on and so forth. So I think that if you look at it psychologically, the actual tribute concert she did a few weeks later was a wonderful thing to do, because it brought people back to that site and tried to re-engage with the positive sides of things. So, you know, these are complicated things. For some individuals, that would have been something they couldn't have faced because it was such a traumatic event. But for other people, it helped them reconcile what had gone on for them. But this use of music to those ends, for both very good ends and not so good ends, has, of course, got a very, very long history. Music's been used in battle, you know, sort of drumming to get the troops charged up, people singing together to stir themselves up in a kind of jingoistic way. But at the flip side of that, music can be used very positively. There's very, very strong evidence now that music's incredibly useful for people with dementia, for instance. It helps them access a kind of continual presence. They can keep using their working memory, and they can have very strong positive emotions in the moment. It can stir up memories from the deep past, very deeply embedded memories, and can help them feel very happy. And they can learn new material in music. So, you know, music's a fascinating tool that we use. It's a fascinating technology that we have and that we've developed over many, many centuries.